The reading today is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Thanks be to God for this reading.
So we continue with our series. If you have been following us over the last few weeks, you will know that we are in the middle of a series through Paul's letter to the Philippian church. We realized that it is a letter of great encouragement, and such that Paul had virtually nothing negative to say to the church at Philippi. The Philippian church had partnered with Paul in the gospel, and he had good memories about the church. We learned through the study of chapter 1 that joy is possible in all circumstances, and the secret of joy in all circumstances is a single mind or a conviction. If you are sure that what you are doing is within the context of God's will and purpose for you, you will have joy in every circumstance. You will have joy in every situation. So we are starting chapter 2 today, and the main lesson in chapter 2 is that joy is possible even in our human relationships. Joy is possible even in our human relationships as children of God. And the secret to that joy in our human relationships is a submissive mind. A submissive mind will give us joy in our human relationships as a church or as children of God. So, joy comes from unity, unity that comes from a people that will be having a submissive mind. So the prescription for unity is humility. Without humility, unity is impossible. So submission to others leads to joy in serving others. That is our theme today, joy in serving. As a church, God wants us to gather like this, to be a community of faith like this, so that we can serve one another. Serving one another is only possible if we have a submissive mind. So Paul wrote to the Philippian church Though he loved the church, though he had nothing negative about the church, but he got to know that something bad was about to happen in their relationships, which means the church in Philippi was not a perfect church. Though Paul did not write anything negative about it, but it was not a perfect church. The church was in danger of losing unity. The church was in danger of losing unity, which means it was about to have relational problems. It was about to have relational problems. So the Philippian church needed fine-tuning. They needed to tune well to Christ Jesus. I think we have all had radios that are not well tuned. They will be having some noises that they make. If a church is not tuned to Christ, it will have these relational problems. Instead of concord, the church will experience discord. That was the situation in Philippi. The church was about to get into a serious discord as a community of faith. False teachers were coming from without, as we shall see in chapter 3. Disagreeing members were coming from within, as we shall see in chapter 4. So the text that we read this morning is divided into two sections. The first section is a call for the church to unite, humility being the key to that unity. The second section talks about Christ as the model of humility, which creates an attitude of joy in serving, and it leads to subsequent exaltation. In chapter 1, Paul had been discussing his own struggles. He started off by thanking the church at Philippi. Then from verse 12 to 26 of chapter 1, he described his struggles and his joy that the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, was advancing. And then from verse 27 to 30 of chapter 1, he talked about his relationship and the shared struggle that he had with the Philippian church. He said to the church, you are not safe. I am in prison, yes, but you are also not safe. You should be prepared to suffer because you have the grace not only to believe, but also to suffer for Christ Jesus. So in chapter 2, he now turns to their relationship with each other. From verse 1 to verse 4, Paul starts sarcastically by repeating rhetorical questions. Having diagnosed a rising spiritual problem of selfishness that showed itself in self-ambition, self-importance, and self-centeredness, he asked the church, is there anything good about being a Christian that we have realized so far? That's how I interpreted the first questions from verse 1 up to verse 4. He was like saying, is there anything good about being a Christian that you have realized so far? This church was 10 years old. It was started by Paul, and it was 10 years old, and he was like asking them, have you realized any advantages of being a Christian? Have you realized any advantages of being part of the church of Jesus Christ? Paul wanted them to reflect on the benefits of being a Christian so that they would desist from the bad attitude towards one another. Their behavior was starting to show signs of self-ambition. Ambition is the desire to succeed. And there is nothing wrong with ambition. It only becomes wrong when it is prefixed with self. Theirs was now self-ambition. Self-ambition says others must fail at all costs, which might mean even pulling them down so that one succeeds alone. When a friend succeeds, if you have self-ambition, you would feel like something has died in you. That is a very bad attitude, self-ambition. The church was also showing a problem of self-importance. Self-importance is the desire for personal prestige, to be admired and respected at the expense of others who should be degraded and put to shame. That is self-importance. So there were signs of self-importance in the church at Philippi. The other problem was self-centeredness. Self-centeredness makes one to be only concerned about one's own interests, saying, "I am the center of the world. The only horizon people should consider should depend upon where I stand." So there were signs of these problems in the Philippian church. The problem was selfishness. And selfishness is the antithesis of being like Christ. So Paul had to ask the Philippians some rhetorical questions. He said, "Is there anything good about being a Christian?" So he said, "Have you received any encouragement?" He understood that if you are part of God's church, if you are part of God's Christ, within the period that you have been a Christian, you must have had some encouragement from brothers and sisters. So he asked rhetorically, "Have you received any encouragement? Have you received any love? Have you received any fellowship? Any tenderness and any compassion?" He was calling the church's attention to all the blessings of being a child of God and hence part of part of the body of Christ. So each one of us should consider the benefits that we have had so far of being Christians, of being part of the church family. I have realized a lot of benefits for the months that I have been here as part of Inches Church. A few months ago, the Church of Scotland organized an interview with me where they wanted to know if I have had any challenges in this new cultural context, that is the general context of just staying in Scotland in general, not just within the church, but even when I would be moving around in town and wherever, in any part of this context. I told them that I had a soft landing in this new cultural context because I was received by the Church of Jesus Christ. So instead of having any problems, I have had encouragement. I have had love. I have had fellowship. That is, I have been invited to people's homes, and I have had fellowships over cups of tea and coffee. I have been taken out for breakfast and lunch. I have experienced tenderness and compassion. Those are the benefits of being part of the body of Christ. That is what Paul wanted the Philippian church to reflect upon, so that their relations, so that they would desist from selfishness, they would desist from self-ambition, self-centeredness, because they would be realizing the importance of having their brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, if you have had all these blessings, make my joy complete. Paul had joy whenever he thought about the church at Philippi, but he said, my joy is not yet complete. There is something lacking. Make my joy complete. There was the issue of unity in the church, and there was even the issue of unity between specific individuals, as we will see in chapter 4 of Paul's letter to the Philippians. So Paul said, followers of Jesus Christ should be of the same mind. He said, make my joy complete. How? By being of the same mind, meaning same mindset, meaning same attitude, meaning same approach to life as that of Jesus Christ. The necessity of being of the same mindset was so important to Paul that he mentioned it in every chapter of this letter. You find the issue of one mind from chapter 1, chapter 2. He mentioned up to chapter 4, there is one mind, same mind, one mind. It was so important to him, which means the church should have the same approach to life as that of Jesus Christ. He was saying, as a church, you should develop an organizational culture that shows Christ. That whoever looks or observes from the outside should see that these people behave like Christ Jesus. So they could maybe ask him, how do we become of the same mind? How do we develop the same mindset? How do we develop the same attitude? How do we develop the same approach to life? He said, Christ is our model. Jesus Christ is our model. So he said, be fine-tuned to Christ, our model. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, same approach to life as that of Christ Jesus. So from verse 6 to 11, Paul wrote what is often referred to as the Christ hymn. The Christ hymn. I looked for, we have a Christ hymn in Shona in the native language of Zimbabwe. We have it, the Christ hymn. I looked for it in English. It's there on YouTube, but different tunes. But we would sing it in Zimbabwe. It begins in verse 6, talking about Christ's divinity, the Christ hymn that Paul wrote to the Philippian church. It begins by mentioning Christ's divinity, saying Christ was in every nature God. Or in very essence, God, yet taking a different shape. He just took the shape of a human being, but he was in every nature God. But he did not hold on to his divinity. He did not see his divinity as something to be exploited or to be used to his own advantage. Instead, Jesus emptied himself. The Greek word for emptied is kino, which means he made himself nothing. It means becoming hollow. It means loss of value with reference to his divine nature. And he took the form of a slave. He was in every essence God, but he became in every essence a slave, being born as a human being and being found as a man, humbling himself and becoming obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. It was popular in this Greco-Roman context that the Philippian church found itself for people to die for what they believed. But they couldn't imagine one dying on the cross. The cross was meant for non-Roman citizens who would be bad people, who would eventually die on the cross. So Paul is bringing a very unexpected picture of how Christ emptied himself and obeyed his Father to a point where he accepted dying on the cross to save us. So he said we should have the mind, the attitude, and the view of Christ. Christ is presented as loving, as obedient, as self-sacrificing and humble. He thought of others and not himself. Our attitudes shape our behavior. If we have the mind or the attitude of Christ, we will act like Christ. Christ thought of others. The New Testament mentions the phrase one another more than 20 times. We find statements like encourage one another, edify one another, bless one another, and do not judge one another. It means the word of God encourages good relations amongst us as members of the body of Christ. So Paul was saying, be tuned to that attitude. Jesus had a mind of saving. He did not come to be saved, but to save. He did not just think about others, but he saved them. He was the God-man, deity and humanity united in one, but he came as a servant. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister to others. Thinking of others more than above ourselves leads naturally to saving others. So we should have the attitude of Jesus Christ. We should have his mind. His mind was a mind of sacrifice. He sacrificed himself for the sake of others. And this is only possible if we have a submissive mind. A submissive mind does not avoid sacrifice. But the church at Philippi was now showing an antithesis of the attitude of Christ. The opposite of the mind of Christ was now manifesting in the church at Philippi. We said there was self-ambition, there was self-importance, and many other symptoms of selfishness. People were insisting on getting their own way, and hence there was discord. Because attitude is contagious. It quickly becomes an organizational culture. A church should operate as a team. That is why God has given us different gifts so that we can operate as a team, edifying one another, encouraging one another. So a church may have gifted people with so many gifts, but gifts alone are not enough. Because even in sport, we have plenty of teams in different fields of sport that have talented players, but those teams amount to nothing due to the attitudes of players. Talents and experiences are not contagious, but attitude is catching. The attitude of selfishness was spreading in the church, and Paul had to address it. Because our attitude as a church is the thing that draws people to us or repels them. So attitude is very important. That's why Paul said we should have an attitude That was also in Jesus Christ, because it is the attitude of the church as a whole that draws people or repels people away. Attitude has inward roots, but its fruits are outward. Attitude is more honest and consistent than our words. So when we speak to people, we should know that attitude is very consistent. People could be listening to our words, but they feel our attitude. So the Norman was saying we should stay for a wee while after the service to have a chat in the gathering hall over a cup of tea and coffee. As we speak to one another, the person you are speaking to will be hearing your words, but he or she feels the attitude that we have towards him or her. So attitude is very honest and is very consistent. It's more honest and more consistent than our words. I can see that you were speaking, you were chatting with me, but you had a negative attitude towards me, because attitude is very consistent. So we should have the attitude of Christ Jesus. Attitudes have the power to lift us up or tear us down. So attitude is the prophet of our future. If we become a church which is a negative church, which has a negative attitude, the attitude is a prophet of the future of the church. A negative church will die. But a church which has the attitude of Christ can survive and advance the gospel of Jesus Christ effectively. It can be a true witness of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said the only attitude that guarantees success is the attitude of the head of the church, Jesus Christ. His attitude unites us. His attitude, how did Jesus show his attitude? He was willing to give up all claim to title, all claim to his rights, all claim to his privileges, all claim to recognition and personal glory. He sought simply to be obedient to God the Father without fanfare, without applause, without glorifying himself, and without promise of reward. He did that for you and for me and for the whole world. Paul said what Christ did is the central defining act of the Christian faith. Hence, Christians should demonstrate the same mindset, the same attitude, the same approach to life. We understand that to have the same attitude as that which was demonstrated by Christ Jesus could be against our nature. It may go against the tide of popular culture, but it is the approach to life that Christians should have. We should develop habits that exhibit the mind of Christ so that we become effective witnesses of Christ Jesus. I will finish with a story which I read from a book by Alice Gray, which is entitled More Stories for the Heart. The author tells of a story about Joe, a non-drunkard or alcoholic addict who was miraculously converted at a mission station. Before conversion, he had been known to be a hopeless case of addiction to alcohol. But following his conversion, everything changed. He became the most caring person in the mission station. He could do anything to save others at the mission station, including scrubbing toilets and cleaning up any mess caused by other hopeless cases of drunkards. that were yet to become Christians. So he did everything with a smile on his face. He was grateful for a chance to help, a chance to save, because he considered how Christ had saved him. So one day, the mission director was preaching his evangelistic sermon, and among the congregants stood one man who had been helped by Joe. He stood from the crowd and started to walk down the aisle to the altar and knelt down to pray, crying out to God to change him for good. So he kept shouting, "Oh God, make me like Joe. Oh God, make me like Joe. Oh God, make me like Joe." And the director was disturbed by that, and he leaned down to him and said, "Son, I think it could be better if you prayed, 'Oh God, make me like Jesus.'" And the man stopped what he was shouting and looked at the director with a quizzical expression on his face and asked the director, "Is Jesus like Joe?" He didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, but he knew Joe. What a tremendous credit to Joe's faith. Many people do not have a clue about Christ Jesus, but they encounter our minds, our attitudes, our habits, our characters, which should be like Christ if we are to be effective witnesses of Jesus Christ. We should have the mind of Christ in order to have joy in serving, in order to be effective witnesses of Christ Jesus. Paul said we should have a mind of Christ because a day is coming, like he wrote in the Christ hymn, a day is coming when Christ the servant will come back as Lord, and every knee in heaven and on earth will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. We want to thank you, Father, for the attitude of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you that we have a model who is the head of the church. Give us the mind of Christ. Help us to develop habits and characters that are a true witness of the attitude of Jesus the Christ, so that we have joy in serving one another. Help us to be a church that is in harmony. Help us to be in one accord. Remove discord. And help us to always be in harmony as a church, so that we become a true alternative society to a broken world that is looking for love. That love might be obvious in your church and might draw people from the dark world unto this marvelous light of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for reminding us about Jesus the Christ, who demonstrated an attitude of joyful serving and obedience to you. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.